I'm here to talk about is a PSP. What is a PSP? First of all, okay, you can switch that. First of all, a PSP is a satellite, a private school. Well, it's a funny name. It's a private satellite school program which files an affidavit. When you sign up, you become a teacher of your own children in that school. Your name and address do not appear on the private affidavit, and we've talked a little bit about private affidavit in there, but the school itself files the private affidavit, and all they do on that affidavit is they say, you know, they have 27 seniors and 42 juniors, and they just list numbers of students, so your name is not on there at the state, but the school itself files that affidavit, so you're covered legally under that school. And so the school itself keeps a list of all the teachers and their qualifications. And in my opinion, the qualification is you're the parent, so you're qualified to teach. So PSPs are not the same as correspondence schools, which fall under homeschooling independently. PSPs file an affidavit, and correspondence schools do not, which means the family must file one. So next slide. Okay, and so I just have to qualify that this is Vicky's notes and her thing, and I know all this information, but anyway, so if I fumble up or go back and forth, you'll know why, because this is hers. So anyway, so as I said, a private school affidavit must be filed by the administrator between October 1st and October 15th. Actually, I think they changed that. They have opened up the days that you file it. It really doesn't matter. You file once in the year. And if your student joins that PSP after October 15th, it doesn't matter. They're covered under the PSP of that school. The instructors must be capable of teaching. And as I said, you're a parent, so you're capable of teaching. And the names and addresses of all the faculty must be kept on file. Instruction must be in English, although there are some exceptions with that. And instruction must be offered in the several branches of study required to be taught in the public schools. Very broad, somewhat vague, but there are California state requirements of things that need to be taught at every age level. You know, basically math, science, social studies, and English basically need to be taught every year. And then a course of study must be kept in your student's academic record, and attendance records must be kept in the file. Health and safety documents must be kept in the file. So a PSP is going to hold all their students will have a cumulative file. All students in every school, no matter what kind of school you're in, have a cumulative file. You guys did when you went to public school. Everybody does. And when when someone signs up in a PSP, the school will contact the previous school and ask for the file to be sent. So a PSP is legally bound to hold the cumulative files, which hold all this stuff, for all the students that are enrolled in their school. That's kind of a key thing. So wherever your student goes, if they transfer to any other kind of school, public school, private school, anything, that cumulative file follows them, and it needs to be up to date and accurate and all that stuff. So next slide. So as I said, the PSPs must file an annual PSA, and they must keep the student's cumulative records. All right, so the next one. So the categories of additional services can be administrative services, which I just talked about, academic services, extracurricular services, and events. So your baseline for joining a PSP would be that they're going to take care of the administrative stuff for you. If that's all they're offering and that's all you're looking for, when you shop for a PSP, you're looking literally for ones that say record keeping only. Filing a private affidavit is a given. So beyond that, there are basically three or four other categories as I went through. Some of the things you might be offered in administrative helps are something like mentoring services, college. Okay, I think that's on the next slide. Again, I don't know the slide. Okay, so you're going to click through these, yeah. Mentoring, college process helps in the college application, financial forms, deadline for applying for colleges, also transcripts, letters of recommendation, any of those kinds of things that are outside of the actual application that the student fills out to go to college, we help with all of that. We also have, meaning a PSP, has school pictures, IDs, things like work permits, driver's ed forms, dual enrollment forms for community college. And then for academic help, some things you might find are academic advising. I mean, actually, we all need that. we have a lot of people on staff who can help you with that. But the other thing you might need is high school projections. What really is required for high school for graduation, not only in the state of California, but also, I don't know if you guys remember, the A to G requirements. That is basically UCSD put out a list of the requirements, they're called the A to G requirements, to get into, that your high schooler should accomplish before they enroll in, or they try to apply to UCSD. And UCSD, I mean, it's the gold standard for application processes and stuff. Stanford, MIT, they all use the A to G. So when a PSP gives you high school projections, they can give you the general of what the state requires for graduation, but they can also help you with the A to G requirements that for, so that they can go on to, you know, whatever higher education they want to go into. The other thing that can be given is curriculum counseling, classes, tutors, a curriculum library, teaching workshops or training, testing parent groups or meetings for specific academic-related issues, or, of course, special needs. Keep clicking, I believe. Yeah, okay. Well, that's all the academic stuff. Keep going. Curriculum counseling, that's what I just said. Transcripts, report cards, okay. And then there is extracurricular. So some PSPs have a lot of extracurricular stuff, but it doesn't fall into academics. Things like sports, drama, band, choir, and clubs, honor society, scouting, journalism, yearbook. But it also could include things like park days. Yeah, keep going. Park days, events, sixth grade camp, graduations, formals, socials, retreats, mom's night outs, stuff like that. Field trips, you get the idea. And grade-specific socials, I want to address that one because sometimes with homeschooling and just being with your family, which is a great thing, everyone needs to learn how to get along with their family. It's like pretty basic to be able to know how to get along with your family because you have to get along with them. but some people say, how do they socialize with kids their own age? Well, put them in things that have kids their own age. as being social events or different things like that. I found that in my case, I sort of bunched at least my two youngest boys together, because they did everything together anyway. They did school together. They did everything together. Their friends were the same, so they kind of just did everything together. But you do want them to learn how to deal with kids that are their own age. So that would be something you could look for. So there's a lot of things you can get. Okay, next one. In a PSP, but beware of the trade-off. If you're looking for a PSP that respects and allows you to homeschool your way and on your own terms, be careful you're not giving up some of the complete freedom that can be found in private homeschooling just to get the perks for the PSP. You want a place that's going to let you make educational decisions for your family that you think are best. They should be there to cheer you on and make sure your choices are, you know, legal and in line with the state requirements, and should offer support and resources for you to realize your goals, but they shouldn't be curtailing or adding to your plate things you may not want and are not legally required. They are perfectly able to do so. It's their school. They can require whatever they want. So when searching what their requirements are beyond, you know, California legal requirements, it's an important step in the process. The other thing you might want to make sure about is the history and stability and reputation. It's not hard to start a PSP. Literally, we could all pull out our phones right now and start a PSP. It's a little trickier to keeping it open. Make sure you're joining something with a long, reputable history. You want to make sure you're joining one with leaders who have actual homeschooling experience. With the explosion of the growth of the homeschool community, PSPs are popping up as business opportunities for some. And some people are starting them with great business experience and maybe even a teaching background, but have little homeschooling experience. As you guys are getting the picture, homeschooling is kind of its own animal, and it's not like a public school, and it's very different. And to get the backing you need for homeschooling, it's kind of good to have people who have experience in homeschooling. So if you're looking for help and support, probably going to want to go somewhere that has real-life homeschooling experience. And then, okay, click the next one. Let's see, where we are. Okay. So yeah, what are they offering? How much control do you have? And how long has it been around? How stable is it? That kind of thing. And the cost. Bottom line, it's got to work with your budget. And a records-only PSP is going to be cheaper than a PSP that offers lots of services, obviously. So part of the decision is going to come down to what you can afford. So bottom line, with the right PSP, you can be able to find a school-type experience for your kids, but in a homeschooling setting. And the four things to evaluate are, like it says, what are they offering? How much control do you retain? And how long have they been around? How stable are they? And the costs. What are you looking for and what can you afford? So that's, I think you can go to the next one. That says Vicki Stramone again. And I am not Vicki, I'm Jane. I don't know if you have any questions about a PSP or what it really means. Again, there's a lot of terminology. If you're new to this, there's a lot of terminology that gets thrown around. PSP, PSA, that kind of thing. But there's definitely a lot of people, obviously you see them here, who have a lot of history with homeschooling, and you need that freedom. We really believe in the freedom, and PSPs do not have to require vaccinations, immunizations, and that was a big deal. You know, during COVID, it was kind of crazy, so That was something that we stood by. We do, a PSP does have their cumulative file that has their health record. And it can have an immunization sheet, like all your kids have immunization sheets. Some are empty, some are full. It doesn't really matter. They just have to have that sheet in the file, and it can say whatever it says. Let's see. I'm trying to think of anything else that I've missed. Does anybody have any questions? Yeah. So, that's a good question. The state says, and I'm halfway making this up, somewhere between like 160 days a year to 190 or something like that. Generally, people say 180 days per year. So that's 90 per semester. And if you're record keeping, that doesn't mean you have a calendar that you're checked off. You can, but you don't have to do that. But in your file, in record keeping, it can say, in this semester, we did 90 days. And your school day can be whatever your school day is. It can be a field trip. It can be park day. It can be... can be fully academic, so. But that record keeping, that is important, that academic, that days, the attendance days. Did you have a question, or did I get that? Okay. So I gave you all a packet, and again, that's for our school, and there are other schools that do similar things that we do, or offer more, offer less. I don't know anybody who offers more than us, but offer less if that's what you want, if you want to do your own thing. And a PSP can be someone who just does their record keeping with the PSP, and then, you know, their little house on the prairie, and they're out in the hills somewhere, and they do their own thing, and they don't ever talk to anybody. That's fine. They're legally covered by that PSP. Also, another thing about being legally covered is it's strongly recommended to join HSLDA. If you're anything except for a charter, you don't have to do that. But if you're private, if you file a private affidavit, or if you're with a PSP, HSLDA, Homeschool Legal Defense Association, is a national organization that is a watchdog for legal stuff that's happening. And we all know that they can throw some stuff into some bill that they're signing, big, long, huge bill that has nothing to do with schooling, and they put one line in there that is a red flag for us. HSLDA is a watchdog for that. They're watching all that. So, and I think it costs $120 a year or something like that. And when you sign up for HSLDA, you can get some discounts with other stuff. There's also Family Protection Ministries. That's kind of an offshoot of HSLDA, but they're for California only. And if you've ever heard of Nathan Pierce, he's the one that runs it. And he's a homeschooler, has a bunch of homeschool kids, and he's the guy in Sacramento that if they are, he's there, he's kind of a crack up to listen to. But if they're in session in Sacramento and there's something that comes up about homeschooling, literally the legislators will go, hey, where's Nathan? Nathan, can you come up here and explain what this homeschooling thing is? So anyway, he's watching everything, and he is making sure that we stay legal. And in California, it's a big deal. Yeah, that HSLDA is. So also the other thing about HSLDA is if a social worker ever came and knocked on your door and said, why are your kids not in school? Actually, when my kids were in school, before COVID and everything, kids were in school all the time. And if my kids were outside playing or whatever, They weren't in school. So if the social worker ever came and knocked on the door, you don't talk to them. You call HSLDA and you say, talk to these people. So they're your legal representatives if anything were to happen. I mean, since COVID, there's kids all the time you see everywhere. And, you know, the school day isn't so traditional. But it's still an important thing because there are truant officers. Like, I live right by Harry Griffin Park, right next to Grossmont High School, and there's kids there all the time. And there's truant officers that walk around the park, too. So, anyway, HSLDA, just to keep yourself legal and protected. Yeah. So, any other questions? Thank you, guys. Thanks for coming to our little group. I appreciate it. And, yeah, I'll be up there later. If you have any other questions, feel free.